Parshas Pikudei, Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, Adar Beis, excuse me. Beis Tfila, Tav Shin, Ayin Vav. I'd like to start from the very, very last pasuk of the parsha, where the pasuk is telling us the success that they were able to build the Mishkan, the success that the Shekhinah actually arrived. Says the pasuk in Perek Mem, pasuk Lamed Ches, Ki Anan Hashem al Mishkan Yoimom. During the daytime, we have the heavenly cloud. The Eish Tielaila Boy. At night, we have the heavenly fire. Le'enei Chol Beis Yisrael, to be seen by everyone. Bechol Masehem, during all their travels. What a beautiful pasuk. During the travels, we get the heavenly clouds and the heavenly fire. There's one little problem in this pasuk. Mordechai, I think you seem to know it. What's the problem with this pasuk? Little problem. In fact, B'chol Maseim, there is no Anan on the Mishkan or Eish on the Mishkan, because there is no Mishkan. The pasuk is telling us that B'chol Maseim, during the travels, there was Anan on the Mishkan Yoimam, the Eish Te'laila Boy. There was the heavenly cloud on the Mishkan, and the heavenly fire was on the Mishkan when they travel. A small problem, that when you travel, there is no Mishkan. It gets dismantled, gets taken down, gets taken apart. There's no Mishkan when you travel.
So what's the deal here?
So how can the pastor tell me there's a Nan on the Mishkan, and there's the H on the Mishkan when they travel, but there is no Mishkan when they travel?
Big problem, because we don't have Mishkan when we're on the road.
Exactly. Oh, so I agree with you.
Where's this hanging out? Where's this?
I mean, Rashi says that.
Very good. Oh, very good. Rashi picks up on this and says, Rashi, Makom Chaniyosom Afu Koroi Masa. When they camped out, it's also called the travel. It's called the Masa. The traveling is not only when they're actually physically moving, but when they camped out, it's also called the traveling. B'chol Masehem. They're on a long trek between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael, taking 40 years. During that time, they're still called traveling. So therefore, when the pasuk is talking about the Anan on the Mishkan and the Eish on the Mishkan, B'chol Maseim, in fact it's referring to when they're camped out, but still called during their travels. There's such a beautiful message in this pasuk. Rabbeisai, we're all traveling. The person thinks, I'm here, Hakol V'Seder, I have my house, I have my family. You gotta know something. We're all traveling. Like it or not, whether your house is wrecked or taken apart, we're all traveling. And even when you stop, you're still traveling. You're still moving ahead. Oh, so where to? Great question. Where are we traveling to? Says the Shari Tshuva in Shar Beis Oiz Dayin. He says they can't understand how people blind their eyes and cover their hearts from understanding, not to see. Ki noisea huera mokoim. We're traveling, everyone's traveling. Mokoim Beis Oilomai. Where's the Beis Oilomai? The Beis Oilom, where is that?
Beis Tefillah?
After you, it's when you graduate from Beis Tefillah. It's the last place where you let down.
Any yeshivas?
Hopefully it will be yeshivas. It's where a person has his own four amas and he lies there in peace. Says the Shai Tshuva, Haloich v'noiseya v'nasoa l'yoimam v'layla. We're always traveling to base olamoi, to our end of this world. We're traveling day and night. We're always on the move. You may physically be here, may physically be very comfortable, but lamaisa, we're all traveling. Who is it that even when he's standing up, he's called sitting? Who is it that even when he's physically lying down, he's called sitting? How can he be lying down and sitting? How can he be standing up and sitting? Who is that person? What? I don't think Mason is sitting up. I hope not. There's a positive answer and a negative answer. We'll start with the positive, no? Who is lying down but he's called the Yoshev? He's sitting down. Well, the positive one is Sukkos. Whether if you're standing in a sukkah, you're a yoshev sukkah. The bracha you make is leishev sukkah. And the negative one is people who are sitting in prison. You could be standing up, lying down, but you're sitting in prison. You are sitting. As a marshal, whether we are stationary, whatever we're doing, we are traveling. Once, I remember, I learned in Ofakim, in Yeshiva, Rav Pinkus used to speak. And one day in the middle of the shmooze, Motzei Shabbos shmooze. And all of a sudden he stopped, and he looked at the clock, and said, "Oi, I'm a second closer to the Levaya." So the point being is, the message is, let us remember, it's not a message to get us down. That's not the point. To appreciate, to utilize, to make the best of the moment, because it's a flying moment. Same with a tourist when he's traveling. When he's traveling, he stays awake. He makes sure to snap the pictures. He's not coming back. If you're aware of that, then you make the best. You utilize the moment. Tell my Torah that you should know. I was born in England. I grew up in London, and I have to confess to my sins. I never saw the changing of the gods. Amish, terrible loss. I never saw it. I lived an hour away. How far is Golders Green away? An hour. I could have seen it every day. I never saw it. Why? Why is it millions of tourists have seen it and I haven't? What's the answer? Because I didn't feel I was a tourist. I live. I could do it tomorrow, so why should I do it? So it never happens. A tourist knows he's here for 3 days. So he makes the best of it. He makes sure to see what he has to see. If we realize that we're tourists, we're traveling, we'll make the best of the moment. This will bring us to the Shekhinah. We'll make sure to have Shekhinah dwelling in our actions. If we realize that we're traveling, we've got to make the best of it. Chaperayim. If we think that we're settled, we have time, so things don't get done. That's the message we can learn. The B'chol Maseihem. In all the travels, they were there for 40 years. They're still traveling. We're also traveling for 120 years. That was the end of the parasha. Let's go to the beginning of the parasha. Ve'elei Pkudei. Our parasha is Pkudei. where it's all about accounts. This is a parasha about accounts, accounting for the materials that Moshe Rabbeinu had received, what he did with them. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do with all, with the materials? What did he build with it? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, in his Sefer Drash Moshe, says that this is a message for life. It's to teach us we have to give accounts for whatever we receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to have to give an account. What do we do with it? Whether it's life, the wonderful matana called life, we're going to have to account to Hashem. What do we do with life, the precious life Hashem gave us? Did we use it for good? Did we use it for Torah, for mitzvahs, for good deeds? Or maybe we just wasted our life? Whether we received money, person has money, person has an income, he has to give an, he's going to have to give an account. What did he do with the money? What do you mean? Why should I give an account? It's mine. It was given to me. Can I not spend it wherever I wish? Says Rav Moshe, look, what happens? You have a multimillionaire. He has one shekel. And he, for no reason, he wants to throw it into the sea. Stop. Who needs a shekel? One shekel. This guy is a multimillionaire. Is he allowed to throw the shekel in the sea?
No.
Why not?
Because he's an idiot.
That may be.
Well, maybe it's the Dead Sea, and maybe it was.
No.
Give him Pastu, maybe he
no, no, no. It wasn't Osir Bar Noah. It wasn't Avodah Zarah. Stam.
Maybe he did the.
Stam. He wants to throw the coin. He wants to throw the coin in the sea. Is he allowed to? Yes or no? So are you allowed to? Yes or no? Not. This is about Tashchis. So what does that mean? That even though it's his money, it's given to him, it doesn't mean that you can waste it. It's still Hashem's money. You're the trustee. It's given to you to spend it. What do you think is the right way? But to waste? It's not yours to waste. So we're going to have to give account for our money. What do we do with our money? Do we use it for correct uses? Or we wasted our money? Do we use it for tzedakah, for ma'isim tovim, or not? And third of all, says Rav Moshe, the person has received gifts, kishreinus, everyone has his own strong points. And we're going to have to give accounts. What did you use the gifts Hashem gave us? He's going to ask us, what did you do with it? Did you use your gifts for good? Or you let them go to waste? And that's what we're learning from this week's parasha, Eilef Pkudei. Everyone's accountable. Everyone is going to have to give the accounts. What did they do with the matonas Hashem gave to us? They're not ours. They trusted. We are the trustee. We are given. They're given to us to use them in the correct way. But it's not ours to waste. Cannot waste what Hashem gave you. Not life, not money, not kishreinus, not anything else Hashem has given us. It's us to use them for the correct purpose. Ve'eileh pkudei. There's a beautiful Sfarna in Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chav Dalet. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the accounts to the Zov, to the Kesef. Pasuk says, "Kol Azov also ila melacha, b'chol melechas hakodesh." The gold was to the mount. Vayi Zav atnufa teisha ve'esrim kikar v'shva ma'izu shleishim shekel b'shekel hakodesh. We're told how much gold was there. Says the Sforno, don't be impressed with the gold, because the gold that was given to the Mishkan is mu'at ma'oid, is only a small amount relative to the gold given to the first Beit HaMikdash. Shadova mu'at ma'oid ve'erech ala oisha she'a b'bayit rishayin. The richness given to the Mishkan is small relative to the wealth that was invested into the first Beit HaMikdash, as it says in the Sefer Melachim. And even more than what was given to the first Beis HaMikdash was given to the second Beis HaMikdash in Binyan Hordus. In Binyan Hordus of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was even more wealth invested in the Binyan HaBayis. Yet, in the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made, there was Marek, Vod Hashem, Tomid on the Mishkan. There was Ashras Ashchina, there was the Kvod Hashem, the Onan, the Eish was on the Mishkan, much more than it was in Bais Rishon. And in Bais Sheni, there was no Ashras Ashchina. The Shechina wasn't to be seen in Bais Sheni at all. It was partially seen in Bais Rishon and seen much more in Mishkan. Says the Sforno, Bezeh Hoira. This is teaching us. Shaloi kitzvas ha'oisher. It's not the amount of wealth, the goydel habinyon, and the size of the building that will bring the Shechina to Israel. It's not the kamus. It's not the quantity of money and the size of the mansion, of the palace, that will bring the Shechina. Rather, Roitz Hashem es yireyov u'ma'aseihem. Hashem wants people to fear Him and their good deeds. That will enable Hashem to come and dwell with us. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. The message to us is two messages. There may be a shul that maybe it's more. Maybe the chandelier is much big over there. They may be much more externally, much bigger, much more flash, but doesn't mean the Shechina. Could be dafka in your community. If it's a community of Yireyim with Maisim Tovim, that will bring the Shechina. It's not external quantities that brings the Shechina, to the qualities. And I would like to take this also into a Jewish home. Chazal tell us, Ish ve'isha zochu Shechina b'neihem. A Jewish home is mokem la'ashras ha'Shechina. Therefore, it's not the lavish wedding that will bring the Shechina. It's not Gedel HaBinyan, the size of the dira. Is it a penthouse? Is there three floors or two floors or one floor that will bring the Shechina? No, that's not going to bring the Shechina. It's the way they behave, the way they interact, the Maaseihem, the Yerushamayim, the Maaseihem, how they interact with each other, that will bring the Shechina. The same way that by the Mishkan was a temporary thing, wasn't so much invested into it. That's what the Shechina was, and not in Bais Rishon, not in Bais Sheni. Likewise, a Jewish home, it's the Iker is the Maisim, not the size of the Dira, and not how many motorcycles accompany the Chosson on the way, or it was landed by helicopter down to the Chuppah. All those type of things are not going to bring the Shechina to his home. In Perak Mem, Moshe Rabbeinu is appointed to anoint the Kelim and to anoint Aaron and his sons. In Perak Mem, Pasuk Tes Vav, Moshe is commanded not only to anoint Aaron, but also to anoint the sons of Aaron. Says the Pasuk, "Umashachta Oisom," you shall anoint them, the children of Aaron. Kasher Moshachto Esavihem. The same way that you anointed the father Aaron, anoint his sons. And v'chianuli, they will be my kohanim. V'hoisa liyoslehem mishchosam lukunas oilam. And this will be the start to be the kohanim forever. Explains the Meshech Chochmah. What's the Torah emphasizing? Anoint the sons like you anointed the father. Says the Meshech Chochmah. Because in fact, it was very difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a difficult moment for Moshe Rabbeinu. When it came to him and his brother, Moshe Rabbeinu was the equivalent to the king. He was the Navi. He was also a semi-Kohen Gadol. He himself did that void in the Mikdash, in the Mishkan. No, he makes his brother to be a Kohen Gadol. Poseidon, that's fair. But when he came to anoint Aaron's children, it was very, very painful for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had requested his children should be the Kohanim. It's a Medrash Rabbah, brought down by the Meshech Chochmah. Moshe asked, can my children, you know, the person wants to look after his children, can they be the Kohanim? Can they continue? And he was told no. So right now, it's a difficult moment. He has to go and anoint Aaron's children instead of his own. Who are they? Why should they get it? What about my children? It was difficult. There's a place for jealousy. Those of the Meshech Chochmah. Therefore Hashem commands him, O Moshachto Isom, you should anoint them with the same simcha like Moshachto Esavihem. The same simcha with a full heart. You gladly enabled your brother to be the Kohen Gadol. Likewise, that's how you should treat Aaron's children as well. I saw this week a beautiful smack. Smack is a sefer mitzvahs katan. In Ois Yotes, he brings an unbelievable mashal to describe the people who are jealous. He says, one day a king met a choymed, someone who has lusts and desires, and a kanai, a person who's jealous. He met two people. One person was a choymed, he's always lusting more. The other person was a kanai, he's jealous of other people. And the king said, you can ask from me whatever you want. I'll give it to you. But to your friend, I will give double. Want a car? I'll give you a car.
Where is this from?
In the smack, the sefer mitzvahs katan. Okay? So now, they're both perplexed. They don't know what to do.
Is it Jewish?
No, I can just tell you what it says.
It's a Jewish, no?
I hope so. So, each one is perplexed. Why? Because the Choymed says to himself, why should I ask first? Because let him ask first and I'll get double. If I ask first, I'm only getting one. He'll get double. And Choymed, what he'll get? Let him ask first and I'll get double.
What did he talk about them?
He said he gave them an offer, but now they were
each one.
He offered them both. He said, one, ask. You can ask for me wherever you want, and I'll give your friend double. Okay? So, and the Choymed says, I have a problem. If I ask first, he'll get double, and I'm a Choymed. So let him ask first, and I'll get double. The Kanoi says, no, I don't ask first. If I ask first, he'll get double, and I'll be jealous. So let him ask first, and I'll get double, won't be jealous.
Each one's going to be jealous.
What?
Each one's going to be jealous.
No, one's jealous, one's
on,
one wants the other.
It's
all the smack. So they have a problem. At the end, the Choymed persuades the Kanoi, says, you ask first. You ask first. Beseda. So the Kanoi asks the following from the king. Poke one of my eyes out! So you should poke both of his eyes out. Habosai. That is kina. Kina, we're exactly the same. If we get pulled into kina, kina is poking your eye out. It's self-destructive. Instead of living your life, you're jealous about your Pliny, why does he have so much? Why is Amoini, why does he have such a nice car, such a nice house? And you can't sleep at night, you're so jealous, and you're so upset, so angry. So what are you doing? Poking our eyes out. You recognize everything's Nigzah Mashamayim, You get what you get, he gets what he gets. You could live a happy life. That is what the pasuk was telling Moshe Rabbeinu. You should have anoint Aaron's children with the same simcha as you anointed Aaron. No mocking for jealousy. Your children don't have. My child saw. That's Rotzen Hashem. Can't change it. But when his children get, be happy for his children. You won't lose out. Don't poke your eye out. As Chazal tell us, Hakina are one of the things that Moitzim es Adam in Oilam. They destroy the person. People are jealous. They destroy themselves. They're poking their own eyes out. Rather, be happy with what you have. Recognize the Ulfam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What he has. Let him have it. Let him enjoy it. You enjoy what you have. And have a beautiful life. Let me ask a question. Is it possible nowadays to bring a korban? Do we have the ability of bringing korbanos which give us kapara? Do we still have a mizbeach that we could use? Now, I haven't joined Nehemaneh HaArbayit. I didn't join in. That's not what I mean to say.
It's a
Rabbi Lubin
question.
What? Yeah? So, okay. I have to ask him.
He said in his Korban Pesach, yes.
Oh. Say the Korban Pesach. So, Rabbi said, it's very interesting. Targum Yoinasim Ben Uziel in this week's parasha. To be found in Perek Mem, Pasuk Vav. A very simple Pasuk. It says over there, you should position the altar for the oilo lifnei pesach mishkan oil moed, in front of the entrance to the oil moed. The Torah describes where do you position the mizbeach. You position it at the entrance to the mishkan oil moed. Okay, very simple pasuk, seems very simple, yet the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel reveals to us a deeper explanation. Says the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel on the spot. Says this is referring to, or this hints to, Atiraya, well-to-do people, the Mesadrim Pseira, they set up a table, Kadam Tarayum, in front of their doors, they provide food at the entrance of the house, and they support unfortunate people. And what happens? Their sins get atoned for, as if they're sacrificing an oil on the mizbeach. By supporting the poor people and providing for their food and needs, they are achieving, it's as if they are sacrificing an oil on the mizbeach and atoning for their sins. Gewaldig. We thought that tzedakah is a nice mitzvah, but we see there's much more to it. In fact, it's a mamash like a korban on the mizbeach. Okay, that's the Yonasan ben Uziel. Do we have this concept in Halacha? In fact, if you look around, we can find this in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah in Orach Chaim, Simin Kuf Samar Zayin Tif Hei, says the Ramah.
Is it enough to just that statement alone? Is it enough proof that it's Halacha?
No, that's the answer. We don't always pass in every single Targum. It's like a medrash. Not every medrash we pass him, but if it makes its way into the halacha, it gives it more weight. It's more part of our life.
That's what he holds, or that's how
he translates the pasuk, the Yonasan. But maybe it's not every medrash is something that's halachadik. So let's see. Says the Ramo in Simin Kuf Samach Zayin Sifei. He says mitzvah lohavi ad kol shulchan. There's a mitzvah to bring on every table melach. Koydim sheyipta. Before you cut your bread, there should be salt on the table. Why? Ki ashulchan doimel lemizbeach. Your table is similar to mizbeach, and that vachila kekorban. You're eating it like a korban, and it says by a korban, I call korban chotakrit melach. A korban needs salt. The passing the Ramah, a person should have salt on his table. At least in Shabbos we're marked on this. You have salt on the table. Because our table is like a shul, it's like a mizbeach. And we bring a korban. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what does it mean that a shul is like a mizbeach? What does that mean? He quotes the Gemara that Bizman Beis HaMikdash, the mizbeach is mechaper odom. Kapor, you go for the mizbeach. But now we have no Beis HaMikdash, shulchonai shel odom. A person's table is mechaper for him. How? Says the Mishnah Berurah, shenoisen milachmoy ledao. By giving your bread to a poor person, it's like a mizbeach. So we see this mamash in halacha, that the concept of sharing, if you share your what you have with poor people, then mamash, it's a kapor, like you bring an oilo. About the thing, it's not always practical. We don't always have the, you can't always invite guests, you don't always have guests, you can't find them. But every shkuna has a stocker fund. By giving is a stocker fund. And that stocker fund, they provide food for the poor people. So in fact, by giving to them, you are mekayim. Besides mitzvah tzedakah, you're getting, it's like bringing a korban, you're getting kapara. That's what comes out of this. That's a big mitzvah. Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk of Zayin, discussing the silver got from the Machzis HaShekel, when they melted down the Machzis HaShekel, it came out to be Me'as Kikar, an amount of 100 Kikar Kesef. What was it used for? The Tzekes is Adnei HaKodesh. They used them for the sockets that were holding up the posts. They were made out of the Me'a Kikar Kesef. Me'as Adonim le Me'as Kikar. Kikar lo Adon. The pasuk summarizes for us, just in case you can't work out the maths. There's 100 Adonim were made out of the Me'a Kikar, which is Kikar lo Adon. So there were actually 100 Adonim made out of this. Says the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim is the tour on his parashah in the Chumash. Me'as Adonim, says the Baal HaTurim, the kenegdom tiknu me'a brachos b'chol yoy. He connects to the Me'as Adonim, to the me'a brachos that we're supposed to make a bracha every day. The person is supposed to every day have, say, 100 brachos. Adkan, as we says. What's the connection? What's the message? We see the Adonim were the base holding up the Mishkan. They're down on the ground, on the floor. But that's the base. Without them, everything would collapse. So the base is the Me'as Adonim, which the Torah translates to be the 100 brachas. Apparently it's a base for Ashras Hashchina. What does that mean? If I could suggest, the 100 brachas we say a day, what are we doing? We are bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our life. We live a life of gashmias. We go to the store, we buy our bread, buy our milk. You don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the picture. It's there for us. We have our money, we pay for it, we take it, we eat it. You don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By saying a bracha, we are declaring if we think about what we're saying, we're supposed to think. So we use our brains and we say, we're saying, Baruch Ato Hashem. Shahako Niabitvari. Borei Minei Mazoinas. Hamoitzi Lechem in Oretz. We're in fact recognizing Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though we went to the store and it was there, we still understand it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He made it happen. He made it rain. He made the grain grow. He made man, the farmer, come and harvest it and grind it up. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we are recognizing it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu 100 times a day. So we're bringing Hashem into our life. Oh. If you bring Hashem into your life, then it makes sense that this is the base of the Shekhinah, which is Hashem really coming down to our life. Mita connected mita. If we bring Hashem into our life, Hashem will actually come. If we're looking for Ashra, we're building Ashra as Hashekhinah. We're building a Mishkan. It makes sense that the base of this is the 100 brachas. The 100 brachas is bringing Hashem into the world, recognizing Hashem's presence. If we recognize Hashem's presence, we'll be merit to indeed have Kirvas Hashem. Hashem will come. Middle connected middle. If we bring Him in, He'll actually be there for us. In this week's parasha, we meet over and over again the concept of Kasher Tziva Hashem. Kasher Tziva Hashem. Over and over, it's repeated again and again and again. Kasher Tziva Hashem. And why did it be repeated so many times? That they made the Oren Kasher Tziva Hashem, the Shulchan Kasher Tziva Hashem. You'll see it's repeated over and over again. Says the Beis Halevi. Famous Beis Halevi who says that the Mishkan was atoning for the Chet HaEgel. What was the mistake of the Chet HaEgel? What was their Chet? In fact, Am Yisrael were looking for Kirvas Hashem, and the Mishkan, if you understand its inner meaning, in fact, is a formula to create Kirvas Hashem. So they were trying. They understood the Soid, and when they made the eagle, it was in fact to bring the power it had was in fact to make a kesher to the heavens. Very nice idea. In fact, they were speaking spirituality. They thought Moshe Rabbeinu had died, so they wanted a connection, so they made the eagle. What was the mistake? Because everything has to be, it's all very nice to make your own ideas, but it's only Hashem agrees to this. Can't make, if it's not what Hashem wants, it doesn't help. Right. I used to learn in Tel Aviv, I went in Shiva in Tel Aviv, and I saw adverts in the bus, Kabbalah Masit. You could be a secular person who all that various of Olam, and you learn Kabbalah. It's all Kabbalah. You don't have to keep anything. You have to, you can be Mechara, the Torah, you can eat Nevelis, Trefus, Mechal, Shabbos, boil, Yom Kippur, whatever you want you can do. But you can learn Kabbalah. This exact, that's Chet HaEgel. It's dealing with spiritual ideas, but it's not Kasher Tziva Hashem. You're not doing what Hashem wants. As a tikkun for this, the Chet HaEgel, so when he built the Mishkan, it was emphasized Kasher Tziva Hashem, Kasher Tziva Hashem. Rav Moshe Sternbuch points out that when Perek Lamed Ches Pasuk Lamed Beis, says even after they finished the whole Mishkan, they still emphasized it was, they did everything Kasher Tziva Hashem. There's a story, I've said the story before. In the Second World War, there was a Jewish pilot, a Bacher, who was fighting the RAF, the British Royal Air Force, and he would make missions, sorties, and bombing Nazi Europe. And one day he got a break, and he met Rav Chatzkel Abramsky. Rav Chatzkel Abramsky is asking, how are you doing? What's going on? We are killing the enemy. Very nice. And how's your Yiddishkeit going? Yeah, keep kosher. But then the Bacha told him, you know, but every so often I smoke on Shabbos. Well, not the Pikuach Nefesh. He said, why? Because I'm doing such amazing things, Hashem won't be angry with me. I'm Moisa Nefesh. I risked my life, Am Yisrael, to kill the enemy. So Hashem won't be angry with me if I smoke every so often a cigarette on Shabbos. Chazka told him, you know, when you come to Shamayim, you will see there's two Sfarim. There's a Sefer, the Sefer of your good deeds, and a Sefer for your bad deeds. In your good deeds, it will say, it will be written that you were Moisa Nefesh to save the Jewish people. Very nice. But in this book of bad deeds, it will say exactly every single cigarette you smoke is be written there. One doesn't cover the other. You get reward for your good deeds and be punished for your bad deeds. We think sometimes a person, when he does something very good, he thinks, I'm entitled, magiali. I can be lax. I support so many yeshivas, I support so many moizdas, so I can speak Lashon Hara, I can come late to shul, I can take off because I do so many good things. Not true. The good things you do are very good things, but the bad things you do, you're responsible like anyone else. There's no one doesn't cover the other. And after that, even in the build of Mishkan, it's Kasha Tziva Hashem. Our next shiur, in 5 minutes' time, we'll be discussing accounts. Do Gabbat's Docker, do they have to give a doch? Do they have to give accounts for the money they received and spent? What about doctors have to give accounts to their students, by the students, the good and bad students? Is it Lashon Hara? Because when they dictate to their secretaries, is that Lashon Hara? Can a Vad bite? Can they put the accounts? Who hasn't paid? Can a Vad bite post on the wall all the people who haven't paid the Vad bite? Is that permitted? Because Hashem, in 5 minutes' time, Yishar Koyach.